There was a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Saranga Murari. And he lived in this place. And he performed his devotional service under this sacred Bakula tree. It is explained that he was such a pure devotee. He was continuously absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord and serving the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world to give this message of Krishna consciousness to everyone. The only qualification is our willingness to accept. It is described that Lord Chaitanya on many occasions told Saranga Murari that he should accept disciples in order to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. But out of his natural humility, he never considered himself qualified to do so. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from time to time would come here to Mamgachi and request Saranga Murari to initiate disciples. So one day, out of understanding that this truly was the desire of the Lord, Saranga Murari Thakur, he said, "All right." And he made a resolution that the first person he meets the next morning, he would give initiation into the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So in the morning he went to take his bath and he was chanting his Gayatri Mantra and something crashed into his leg. The pujari here explains that he thought it was a crocodile. And then he looked to see and it was the dead corpse of a small child. So he took this little child out of the water of the Ganga and he remembered that I had made a vow to Lord Chaitanya that the first person I meet I will give the mantra. So he chanted the mantra in the ear of the child and the dead child immediately came to life. Actually, this is the power of mantra. Spiritually we are all sleeping. Spiritually we are all dead. When the spiritual master or the great Vaishnavas give us mantra, they're giving us spiritual life. Actually, this is the way a grateful devotee thinks, that by mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas, a dead man or a dead woman has come alive. Bhagavad Gita explains, Yami Shasarava Bhutanam, that a conditioned soul is always awake to the things of this world, but always dead to the spiritual service of the Lord. So we are all like dead corpses, just moving around like ghosts, trying to enjoy the hauntings of this material existence. But by the mercy of the great souls we have been given, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we have given entrance into devotional service, and they have revived again the constitutional nature of the soul, which is to be alive in devotion. So this child, upon hearing the mantra in his ear, came alive. And he became Saranga Murari Thakur's disciple, and he was named Murari. Now, his parents, they had already performed the funeral ceremony. He was bitten by a snake, and it is the tradition that a person who is bit by a snake is never put into fire, but is just thrown into the river Ganges. So obviously the parents, mother and father, were very much crying and weeping, our child has died, and they threw the child in the Ganges. And when they found out that the child was alive and was living here at Mamgachi, the mother and father came and said, "Oh, we are so happy you are alive. Please come home." And the child Murari explained that you created this dead body, but my Guru Maharaj has given me life. So therefore, he is my real father. So I will stay with him. He would not go home. And he became a very, very great devotee. Now, there are differences of opinion. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a description of one great disciple. He was actually one of the branches of the tree of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and his name is Murari Chaitanya. Some say Murari Chaitanya is actually Charanga Murari, and some say Murari Chaitanya was his disciple, Murari. But either one, Murari Chaitanya lived here. Murari Chaitanya is glorified as being one of the greatest devotees. He was so fearless because he was so absorbed in serving his Guru Maharaj, and he was so absorbed in chanting the holy names that he completely forgot that he had a material body. He would go into the jungles and he would find tigers. He would hold them by the tails and he would slap them in the face. And these tigers, by being slapped by Murari Chaitanya, their hearts filled with devotion. Sometimes he would see a serpent, cobras or pythons, and he would pick them up and put them on his lap and play with them and whisper the Maha Mantra in the ears of the cobras or the pythons. Sometimes he would go into the water of the Ganges and disappear from everyone's sight deep underneath the waters and remain there for 3 to 4 to 5 days at a time, and then he would come out. Murari Chaitanya, 24 hours a day, was hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, and was constantly chanting the holy names. And this Murari Chaitanya was one of the most intimate associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in spreading Harinam Sankirtan all over the Bengal province. He would go place to place and preach this great message. It is explained that the day that Charanga Murari initiated this dead boy and brought him back to life, the news came to Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur that this happened. And he was so ecstatic to hear that Charanga Thakur had finally accepted a disciple who happened to be a dead corpse. He was so happy and pleased that his devotee followed his instruction and was preaching and accepting disciples that Lord Chaitanya got on boats with 200 devotees from Mayapur and came here to Mamgachi. And he saw this little boy who was just initiated Murari, and Lord Chaitanya picked him up with his own hands and began to dance in ecstasy with him as all the devotees jubilantly chanted Krishna's name. One day Lord Chaitanya came here and he saw Charanga Murari doing his devotional service under this Bakula tree. And Lord Chaitanya said, "I know this tree is very dear to you, but it appears to be dying because there was no leaves or flowers on the tree. It was a very old, old tree. And it was actually just about dead." So Charanga Thakur said, "Yes, what am I to do?" So Lord Chaitanya, with his beautiful golden arms, he embraced this tree. And immediately upon embracing this tree, beautiful leaves and flowers began to grow on all the branches, and the tree became youthful. And the same tree is here today for all of us to remember this wonderful pastime and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the temple room, the large deities are named Madan Gopal, and they are the personal deities of Vasudev Dutt, who is the personification of the compassion of Lord Chaitanya. He worshipped them here. And the deities to your right beneath Madan Gopal. Their names are Radha Gopinath, and they were the worshipable deities of Sharanga Thakur that he personally served right here. And he also gave those deities to his disciple Murari. And the deities to the left, very small deities of Radha Krishna, are named Radha Govinda, and they were the personal worshipable deities of Shivananda Sen, who all of you have heard so many wonderful stories about, one of the very dear disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Gorni Thai deities were installed here by Om Vishnupad Paramhams, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because of his very great devotional mood of revealing this holy Dham to all of the world, so many of these most sacred places Lord Chaitanya put in his care to install deities. And by our own Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the fulfillment of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is so much coming about that people from all over India and all over the world are coming to take inspiration from the holy Dham and worship these very, very sacred forms of the Lord, which are the life and souls of the Lord's own personal intimate associates. Shivananda Sen ki
jai,
Vasudev Dat ki
jai,
Sharanga Thakur ki
jai,
Murari Chaitanya Thakur ki
jai,
Shri Gaur Mandala Bhumi ki
jai,
Gopinanandi. Thank you very much. The name of this beautiful holy place is Vidyanagar. Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. He understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear in Srinagarib Dham as Lord Chaitanya. So he very much wanted to participate in the Lord's divine pastimes. Thus he left the heavenly abode of Indra and the higher planets of Swargaloka to take his birth here in Navadvipa as Vasudev Sarvabhoma, who we all know as Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya. By the Lord's inconceivable potency, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya became the greatest scholar amongst the Mayavadis in all of the world. He had studied and very deeply understood the teachings of Sripad Shankaracharya, as well as the descendants of Shankaracharya's erroneous interpretations of the Vedas. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya established his academy or school here in Vidyanagar. But just prior to the advent of Lord Chaitanya, he decided he should not be here. The Lord within his heart induced him that this Mayavad philosophy he should not be teaching in Navadvipa Dham in the presence of the Supreme Lord, who has come to destroy Mayavad conceptions. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left his students and he went to Jagannath Puri, where by his great scholarship he became the guru for the king, Maharaj Prataparudra. And of course, we know the story how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, showed him his beautiful six-armed form, and made him into one of the most dear devotees of the Lord. Here in Vidyanagar, it is said that this house is where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya taught, as well as where his brother resided, whose name was Vidya Vachaspati, who was actually a very, very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Anyways, at the time when Sarvabhauma's students were here, they were studying the various systems of Sanskrit, grammar, and Mayavad philosophy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beginning his own academic pastimes. How it was begun is described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Lord Chaitanya, his brother Vishwarup, had just left home to take sannyas. And little Nimai Pandit was so much attracted to just studying the various teachings of different scriptures that Jagannath Mishra was thinking that we had lost one son because through the study of scripture he understood that this world is an illusion, and if our other son becomes like that, he may also leave home and take sannyas. So he gave an order that Nimai was no longer allowed to study. So then Nimai became very restless, just to try to show his dissatisfaction. He was out with his friends all day and all night, just causing mischief to the people in Navadvipa. And his father was thinking, let him do anything he wants, but he just shouldn't study and realize this world is an illusion and take sannyas. As long as he's living at home, I don't care what he does. Because Nimai was so much his life and soul. So Nimai, he would just play in the Ganges all day long. And in the evenings, he would stay out with his friends. And sometimes they would go into people's houses and steal their butter and steal their yogurt. And sometimes when he was caught, he would become very humble. He would say, I promise I will never do it again. Just let me go this one time. And because of his beauty and his charm, they would always let him go. And sometimes they would go in the day and look to see what they could destroy at night. They would see a nice banana plantation. And he would go with his friends and put a sheet, a covering, which was a costume of a big bull, over them. And three friends would go into this costume. And then it would look like a huge bull and just go in the garden and start knocking over all of the trees. And the people would come out and hear all the noise. The whole garden is being destroyed. Then the children would run away in the form of bull. Other time they would tie people's doors from the outside. So that if people wanted to go to the bathroom, could not get out of their house. And in cultured Brahmin families, there's no facility ever within the house for responding to nature's calls. So they would be in very great distress. They would be calling, hi, hi, who has a tie on door? And the children would laugh very loud and run away. Anyways, one day, Nimai was on a pile of used cooking pots, and he looked very beautiful. He had a beautiful golden complexion, and all the black marks due to the fire and the smoke was on his body. It looked like beautiful black bees on a golden lotus. And Sachimata was called. She asked him to come down, but he said, how do you expect me to know what is clean and what is dirty if you do not allow me to study? And then he began to speak how, actually, I am the Supreme Lord, and anything I touch becomes pure. But nobody could understand that what he was saying is true. And he actually entered into the mood of Dattatreya and began to speak philosophy to his mother. But ultimately, his mother went up and brought him down. And the people of the village of Navadvip said, your son loves to study. Why you do not allow him to study? If our children love to study, that would be our great happiness. We have to force them to study. Who is the crazy person that has told you to keep your child from studying? So that evening when Jagannath Mishra returned, Sachimata said, our son is not happy because he is not studying. So then Jagannath Mishra decided that just for the satisfaction of Nimai, he should allow him to study. So then he gave him the sacred thread ceremony. And that's a beautiful story. When Lord Chaitanya was given the sacred thread, during that ceremony, he actually manifested his form of Vamanadeva. And he went out to collect alms after his initiation. Then he asked Nimai, of all the thousands of great teachers in Navadvip, who do you want to study from? Navadvip was the high seat of learning in all of the world. There were literally tens and thousands of great scholars teaching various subjects here, and there were millions of students from all over the country who were coming here to learn. It was a very opulent place. Nimai indicated to his father that he wanted to study from Ganga Das Pandit. Now, Ganga Das Pandit in his previous birth was Sandipani Muni, who was Lord Krishna's guru, as well as Balaram's. Jagannath Mishra very happily brought Nimai to the ashram of Ganga Das Pandit, and he said, "My son wants to study from you. Today I am giving the custody of my child to you." And when Ganga Das Pandit saw the beauty and charm of Nimai, he became so happy. He took Nimai like his own son. And very soon, Nimai excelled all the other students of Ganga Das's academy. Nimai was such a scholar that anything he would hear, he would always remember. And any lessons, on that very day, he would perfect it. When he was just a little child, and there is a ceremony where they actually have yajnas for everything in those days here in Bengal. They would have a wonderful, wonderful festival. The first day a child learns to write, they put a piece of chalk in his hands. And immediately Nimai just started writing the names of Krishna and Madhusudan and Vanamali and Ram and like that. When he was living with Ganga Das Pandit, he became so expert in a matter of days that even the senior-most students could not keep up with him in his understandings of any subject matter. And he used to debate with everyone by challenging them. And first he would establish a principle. He would say, "Try to defeat what I am about to say." And then he would say something. And anyone who tried to defeat it, he would completely destroy all of their arguments. And then after establishing what he said as an irreversible truth, then he would defeat it. And then he would challenge everybody, "Now you defeat refutation of my first conception." And everyone was speechless because it was so thorough. And then he would see nobody could defeat that. Then he would defeat that and present a third conception. And he said, "Now I challenge any of you to reestablish the first two or to defeat the third." And sometimes some people would try and they would be just chopped to pieces through logic and reasoning. And then he would reestablish the first principle and through that defeat the second two. And he would challenge anyone to defeat that. When people would see the scholarship of Nimai Pandit, they were thinking, "This boy is not human. This boy must be God or a demigod. But no one can have such an intelligence as him." Nimai Pandit would often come here to Vidyanagar, and he would challenge and defeat the students of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also. And everyone would run away when Nimai Pandit would come. He became the king of all scholars. And when Keshava Kashmiri was so easily defeated, at that time Nimai Pandit assumed the unprecedented reputation of the greatest of all scholars in all the world. Now one may ask, why Lord Chaitanya, through the early years of his life, was meddling with all of these academics? In fact, he didn't indicate his inner devotional sentiments during those years of his scholar, Lila. And the devotees, they were so attracted by his beauty that they loved him, but at the same time they couldn't tolerate being with him because he would not talk about Krishna. And devotees, no subject except Harikatha can give them any pleasure. They have no interest. And actually, this is one of the signs of understanding who is seriously a devotee, is they have a natural inclination to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, and they simply are not interested in subject matters that are averse to the glorification of Krishna. Devotees, they used to chant and have kirtans and pray, and in their mind they were just appealing to Lord Krishna, please make Nimai a devotee. One day it is explained when Nimai Pandit was coming here on a boat across the river Ganga. He was with one of his friends whose name was Raghunath. And this friend had just written a book about logic or Nyaya. And he was very hopeful that this book would be well received by the people in general. So on the boat, he wanted to show Nimai his book. But Nimai said, do you want to know something, Raghunath? I have just written a book on logic. And when Raghunath understood that Nimai Pandit wrote a book on logic, who will ever read my book? So Nimai could see on Raghunath's face, and he could understand within his heart, that he felt very hopeless because he worked so hard on his book. So Nimai took his own book. He only had one copy. And just so Raghunath would become famous as an author of logic, Nimai threw his book into the Ganges. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Now what does this tell us? This is the opulence of renunciation. It is the nature that we want to be recognized, we want to be respected. In our own little realm of existence, we want to become famous, we want to be appreciated. This is the nature of the ahankar, or the ego. But the true meaning of a servant is how to bring others up. A devotee is willing to take an inferior position to bring other people to a superior position. Actually, as far as we know, that was practically the only book Lord Chaitanya ever wrote. All we have of Lord Chaitanya's writings are the Shikshastakam verses. He wrote one book that we know of. He wrote one book and he threw it in the river Ganges just so someone else would get the glory of being a scholar in that subject. This is a very, very great lesson to meditate upon. A devotee's happiness is to glorify others, not to be glorified oneself. That is really the fruit of vidya or knowledge. Hare Krishna.
We are so fortunate to be able to hear the glories of the Lord and His devotees from realized souls. This is actually the key to transcendental knowledge. The key to transcendental knowledge is simply submissive oral reception of the Absolute Truth as it is coming down into simple succession. So, how we have been placed in this unfortunate age of Kali Yuga, where everything is on the decrease, piety, long life, ability to concentrate, our memory, our strength, everything is decreasing the good qualities of humanity. But on the other hand, this age is very glorious because the Lord, out of compassion for the conditions under which living entities in this age have to exist in, has made this mercy of knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth, and access into the world of pure devotional service so very, very easy. Because the Lord has descended in the sound of His holy name, and He's making Himself available to the learned, those who are Shastra Vidan, those who really understand all the Shastras in truth. He's also making Himself available for very, very simple, ignorant persons of Kali Yuga. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he understood this very nicely. He said that the religion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a sectarian religion or a sectarian movement. It's actually a movement that has full universality, because anyone can get the full benefit of transcendental knowledge and pure love of God simply through this church of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that the future church of the world will be this Harinam Sankirtan, because there's no sectarian concerns, no question of previous creed, caste, color, nationality bars one from entering into this sublime atmosphere of association with the Lord. And it produces the greatest satisfaction of the heart, peace of mind, and fulfillment of all one's dreams and aspirations. Because actually everyone is dreaming and aspiring for the same thing. Everyone wants to be happy, everyone wants to be satisfied, but the pursuit of material happiness is just that. It's a pursuit. People are pursuing, they're running after material happiness, but they never catch up with it. Sometimes compared to a mirage in the desert. As you go toward a mirage in the desert, it looks very nice, but as you get closer and closer, it keeps getting farther and farther away. This is the nature of the pursuit of material happiness, and to this extent, modern civilization has devised an incredible and elaborate educational system to teach people how to pursue the illusion. And it's very frustrating for those who are pursuing this false conception of happiness. So, Srila Prabhupada, he specifically instructed his disciples that they should go into the schools and universities and colleges where this false system of knowledge is being presented as real education, and there pick up those who are actually intelligent. When Srila Prabhupada was preaching in the early 60s, he went to MIT University, Massachusetts Institution of Technology, and he challenged the students and the faculty. So you have made this nice institution for knowledge, for technology. But let me ask you, is there a department in this university, a department that is dedicated to understanding the difference between a live body and a dead body? Is there a department to understand the relationship of the soul to the Supreme Soul? No, there was no such department, of course. So Prabhupada's dream was that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness not be known and accepted as simply a sentimental religious movement, although certainly it is the highest religion, as preached by Sri Krishna himself, to abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto him. And certainly it is sentiment based, in a sense that we are trying to develop the highest sentiments for love of God. But he specifically asked that his institution become famous as an educational institution, where each and every one of the members becomes a teacher, becomes a guru, in the sense that they are become fully equipped to hand this knowledge down to anyone they meet. This was the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very simple instruction, that whoever you are, you become guru. How? By instructing whoever you meet in the science of Krishna. So in this holy place of Vijayanagar, which is the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose knowledge was so vast that he dared to try to instruct Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the monistic philosophy, when he was in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya, he sat, because he was young sannyasi, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought that, let me impart knowledge, jnana, to this young sannyasi, because it's very dangerous to be a young sannyasi. There are many attractions and allurements that can deviate one from the path. So he started explaining Vedanta philosophy according to the teachings of Shankaracharya for Lord Chaitanya for 7 days and 7 nights. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just sat there, didn't say a word. At the end of it, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was feeling kind of frustrated because he didn't know what Lord Chaitanya was understanding or not. So he asked him, so have you understood the explanations of Vedanta? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand the Vedanta Sutra, but your explanations are just like clouds that are covering the sun. I cannot understand at all. And then he went on to defeat and establish loving devotional service to Krishna as the supreme and ultimate point of all knowledge. So, this was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, that everyone pass this knowledge down. This is the desire of Srila Prabhupada, coming in line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that everyone understand very nicely the simple teachings of Bhagavad Gita and present them to everyone. This is how the preaching movement goes on from person to person. So we should pray at this holy place to get inspiration to try to really understand the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and develop a drop of eagerness to give this same knowledge to others. It has saved us. Prabhupada said that you become fortunate, now you should make others fortunate. So we should take a moment to pray to the caretakers, this holy place, to give us the inspiration to continue the great work of Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopremanandi.
The first day we were here in Srinagar Dham, we passed just near Yoga Peak, a place called Bilal Digi or Preeti Kund. At that time, Jayadev Goswami and his wife Padmavati were living just beside Preeti Kund. And he had just written the Das Avatar from the introduction of Gita Govinda. And the king of this area at that time was a very great devotee. And when he heard this literature, he very much wanted to have the darshan of the author. So he disguised himself as a very poor beggar and came to Jayadev's house. But with Jayadev's wisdom, seeing his aristocratic nature, he understood he was the king. So the king introduced himself and he said he had come there to receive his blessings. Jayadev said that it was contrary to his principles to associate with materialistic people. He said, because you have come here, I will leave this place, but I will not associate with materialistic people. So when the king heard this, he felt very bad. He said, please do not leave this Navadvip. You have already said that you're going to leave this place, and I cannot ask you to change your words. But on the other side of the Ganga is a beautiful, beautiful garden area called Champahati, which is filled with champak trees. In Vrindavan, the gopi champak lata would pick champak flowers and offer them to Sri Radharani to offer to Lord Krishna. And this is none different than Vrindavan. So this is the garden that champak lata would pick her flowers. And from that time, there has been beautiful groves of champaka trees. So the king built a hut for Jayadev Goswami, and he lived here. He and his wife Padmavati worshipped Krishna with great devotion. And one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to Jayadev and his wife. When they saw the beautiful golden form of Gauranga, they both fell unconscious in ecstatic love. And Lord Chaitanya explained to him, in the age of Kali Yuga, he will appear in this place of Navadvipam, in which all other holy places are included, to give love of Krishna freely in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Lord Chaitanya explained that at the age of 24 years, I will take sannyas, and I will leave Navadvip to live in Jagannath Puri. And there, I will taste every day the great sweetness of your book, Gita Govinda. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jayadev that he should at once go to Jagannath Puri. But Jayadev Goswami said, now that I know that you are coming to Navadvip, I worship this place. I never want to leave. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you should go. And there you have already decided, and Jagannath is expecting you. And by going to Jagannath Puri, you will give great pleasure to Lord Jagannath. So Jayadev Goswami began his departure for Jagannath Puri. But he was told by a voice that he would achieve the perfection of love of God in Puri, and that in his next birth he would come back to Navadvip, and he would reside in Navadvip worshiping Lord Gauranga eternally. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai! Where we are now is the house of Vaninath Mishra, who is the brother of Gadadhar Pandit. The father's name was Madhava Mishra. And at this place, Gadadhar Pandit perform many wonderful pastimes with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya decided to take sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit, who was his dearest friend, was going to go to Puri with him. When this news entered into the ears of Vaninath, who worshipped Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit in his very life and soul, he was overwhelmed with the intense agony of imminent separation. So Gaur Gadadhar came here, and Vaninath Mishra was weeping and crying, you are going to leave Navadvip. You are going to take sannyas. How will I live without you? Please do not go. So he was begging and pleading and crying that they stay. And Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit, feeling very, very intense compassion for their devotee, decided that they would manifest themselves as beautiful deities so that they would always be here. So these deities of Gaur Gadadhar manifested themselves at that time. And in this way, Vani Nag Mishra could experience and reciprocate loving exchange with Gaur Gadadhar in the form of these murtis. Because actually for one who is advanced in devotional service, one can understand how the deity is none different than Krishna himself. These particular deities are very, very prominent and special in all the world. There are two sets of deities that are very, very prominent. In Ambika Kalna, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu manifested themselves due to the desire of Gauridas Pandit. And here in Champahati, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit manifested themselves in these forms to Vaninath Mishra. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur so much desired that these deities be well cared for that he somehow or other acquired this land out of his great devotion. And he personally built this beautiful Gaudiya Math temple. And he had his disciples begin the worship of this deity. And one of his disciples, who was a brahmachari at the time, he gave him the instruction that these deities are so important for our sampradaya that you should not take sannyas, because if you take sannyas, then you will feel obliged to travel and preach. And you should not become a grihastha, because if you become a grihastha, you will be sidetracked from your deity worship. You should remain a brahmachari and worship these deities throughout your life. He's in Vrindavan now, but he still oversees this temple. And he's been worshipping these deities for 60 years now. Shri Shri Gaur Gadadhar ki.